everyone, and welcome to Ask the Financial Expert. Each month, we'll talk about current news and how what's going on in the world may impact you and your finances. Your hosts are Ron Jolson, Executive Vice President and Chief Investment Officer of Northwestern Mutual, Brent Schutte, Chief Investment Strategist for Northwestern Mutual Wealth Management Company, and Mark McLennan, Vice President of Investment Product Development. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, everyone. Thanks again for joining us for Ask the Financial Expert. This is Mark, and I'm back again with Ron and Brent. And before we kick off, Ron, did you have something you wanted to say?
Yeah, we have a shout-out here. We have a very loyal listener, Technical Sergeant Jose Nadal, who guards over our nation's strategic assets in F.E. Warren Base in Wyoming. He's in the Air Force. And he is a regular listener, and I think he would be thrilled to know that we acknowledge and thank him for being a loyal listener to Ask the Financial Expert.
Thank you very much.
It's nice to have one fan.
Yes. It's great. And, you know, with there's a lot going on in the world. Appreciate his service. But we really want to start at the home front. And when I say home front, I mean it's springtime again, which means there's for sale signs popping up across the country. We're really heading into that real estate peak season. So wanted to get your thoughts on a few things related to real estate and housing. So First question is, how's the housing market shaping up this year? Are we seeing growth? What's going on?
So we're having a little bit of a hiccup at the moment. So housing starts were down just shy of 7%. But the permit situation is still very, very solid. And I think probably the housing starts had more to do with the weather and a little bit of a unusual couple of months that we had. So we're not totally surprised about that. But I think in general, affordability has been good, and I think that overall the market continues to be reasonably strong.
Yeah, we are seeing a shortage of existing homes for sale, so the supply is down, and that's really pushing and should push longer term new home sales to move higher. And that does have a bigger multiplier effect on economic growth in the U.S. New home sales takes more to create them than to sell an existing home. And so it's a positive for growth going forward, but in general, supply down on the existing side, new home sales should rise throughout the year. And that would be supportive and helpful to economic growth.
I would also note that listings are lower in certain parts of the country. So if you look at San Francisco, Denver, Boston, you're seeing sort of a shortage of that. So some of the existing housing, you're starting to see prices being bid up in a number of those places.
Okay, so we know things like rates and what's going on in the economy can impact housing starts and housing sales, but I think a big thing is the demographics. So Who actually owns these homes?
It tends to be older people, and that has been a trend that we've been seeing. People over 65 have the highest percentage of home ownership right now. And as I say, that trend keeps moving up. I think the rate overall for the population is about 63%, but it's down from about 69% in 2004. So 65 and older is almost 79% of ownership, but that was peaked at 81% in 2012. So the older folks are those that are owning homes, but the trend across the board, across all demographics, is still for lower home ownership.
So I know we're going to get into what does that mean for sales and things like that in the future, but if you look at all the older people who have homes, some of the issues that they're facing are things like long-term care and How can they equitize their home and that type of thing. But what do you think this means for the future, just the fact who's owning these homes now?
Well, I think what it means is there could potentially be some strain on retirements. I think if in the past a lot of elderly people were simply counting on their homes, that they would be able to sell them and be able to live off of that and retire comfortably. And I think now, I think a much more diversified strategy. I mean, I know we're repeating something we've said in the past, but it's true with the housing class as it is for every asset class. It doesn't do any good to anybody to put all your eggs in one basket.
Especially one that's relatively illiquid. So it does take a home sale in many cases to actually capitalize on a lot of the equity that you have. And so that's in a liquid asset class that in some cases can be hard to access or tap.
And so we've seen also as investors now on the institutional side, what we've seen happening too is with the shift of home ownership and as younger people are doing much more renting, we've seen a lot more appreciation in value in commercial mortgage loans, for example. And the commercial properties are doing better right now than the retail properties. That doesn't help a retiree unless they happen to have, as part of their investment portfolio, commercial mortgage-backed securities and a diversified portfolio that gets at the parts of the real estate market that really are doing well. And I think that's probably the key to all of this.
And do you think a lot of people have that in their portfolio on an individual basis, Brent?
I do. I mean, most people own bond funds, and a lot of bond funds actually own those securities. Most people have REITs in their portfolio, and there are apartment REITs and different REITs that can capitalize on some of the changing demographics and people maybe not buying homes but renting apartments and things of that nature. So, yeah, if you have a broadly diversified portfolio, you do have exposure to the REIT market and to the commercial real estate bond market.
So do rates have a big impact on what's going on? The fact that, you know, we're still in this lower rate environment. We know that there's been some uplift lately. There's a two or three. It's coming. Yep. Who knows?
Yep. You get different predictions. Great question. Everybody's got different views. I tend to think that the overall level of rates is low enough right now that the fact that they've dropped a bit more in the last quarter, and I think the 30-year rate's probably hovering around 4%, and you can do much better in the 15-year. It's actually under 4%. But these changes that we're seeing right now are too small, I think, to have a huge impact. The fact is, it's affordable, and it'll still be affordable even if rates are going to go up another 50 basis points. Certainly, right, Brent, on the way down, we didn't see the rate moves have such a huge impact on home buying, and I don't think as rates start to climb slowly, I don't think it's going to have that bad of an impact on the other in the other way.
Yeah, two comments. One, housing affordability is still really high. If you look at a chart of the housing affordability index, it's well above where it was for most of the prior 20 or 30 years, with the exception of right after the Great Recession. The second point I'd like to make is that if rates rise, we assume that economic growth will be rising along with it and wage growth also. And so, you know, it's not one or the other. There's an effect that goes with it. And if economic growth and wages are rising alongside rising interest rates, housing is still affordable, right? Because you have a higher wage base that you're affording the house off of.
Yeah, so it seems, you know, rates are making housing affordable, or that it has for
has
a while. Sentiment, we're not going to get in that today, but consumer sentiment is elevated compared to you know, recent history, but still I think it might get back to the demographics. You know, we've all heard of stats or studies about millennials and not those below boomers are less interested in ownership and more interested in experiences. So it's interesting how, you know, the hard data is then impacted by the soft data. Does that sound accurate?
Housing confidence in those University of Michigan consumer sentiment surveys is elevated, not just from this, is it a good time to sell a house, but is it a good time to buy the house? And I do think you will see the big question over the past few months has been whether those confidence data will actually lead to people actually doing something, which is hard data. So they express their confidence. Do they actually follow through and buy something? And the answer historically has been yes, and I find this time, and I believe this time, will be no different than the past, that in order to actually do something, you have to feel it. And I think the consumer has made such great strides on their balance sheet that they now have the ability to go out and buy that house. And as their confidence improves, they'll go ahead and follow through.
Yeah, I do think that where they're buying is changing. So you're actually seeing in some of the cities now, you're even condo purchases. And condos traditionally used to be the riskier part of the market. And maybe it still is, but I think it's changing. I do think that as people are moving toward the cities, and it's not just millennials, it's also retirees are actually moving. The cities are safer. They're deemed to be safer. And as they are moving into the cities, you're starting to see a firming of some of those prices. And you're also seeing a lot of the mansions, the so-called McMansions in suburbs. That's really a pretty soft part of the market. They're struggling in a lot of suburbs around the country.
Yeah, we have to mention the tiny house phenomenon that's on HGTV now. I mean, no longer is it just buy the big mansion, but there are also people who are now, as you mentioned, experiences. They're looking to have the smaller house so they can have the other experiences in life.
Right.
Yeah, well, we lived in a tiny house in the late 80s, early 90s. Who knew that would be a trend?
I think Brent did, actually.
He did, yeah.
I was actually in a tiny house in Quincy, Illinois.
So, just to sum up, any other final thoughts on housing and the real estate markets?
Yeah, I think just a reminder that the small moves that we're seeing are less important than the overall trend. And the overall trends in general, not just for housing, but across the economy, we still think look pretty good.
Yeah, I'd say post-recession, you saw more people going into fixed mortgages, which to me, if we talk about rising interest rates, potentially, more mortgages probably today are fixed than what they were in the past. That probably speaks to housing affordability because people don't feel like they have to stretch for the lower rate and take on the risk of it repricing. They feel they can actually lock it in potentially for longer. And I think that's probably a decent thing if rates do rise. It will not cause the housing market some of the problems that we had in the past.
It's a very healthy trend.
Okay, so real estate is one of those assets that people own to use, but it's also something that, you know, could be part of a diversified portfolio. We've been mainly talking about the former, but always want to throw in that diversification in, whether it's from the institutional side or the personal side. So with that happy note, thank you, Ron. Thank you, Brent. And we'll see you soon.
Northwestern Mutual is the marketing name for the Northwestern Mutual Life Insurance Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and its subsidiaries. Northwestern Mutual Investment Services, LLC, subsidiary of Northwestern Mutual, broker-dealer, registered investment advisor, member of FINRA and SIPC in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, subsidiary of Northwestern Mutual and Federal Savings Bank. The opinions expressed are those of Northwestern Mutual as of the date stated on this recording and are subject to change. There is no guarantee that the forecast made will come to pass. This material does not constitute investment advice and is not intended as an endorsement of any specific investment or security. Information and opinions are derived from proprietary and non-proprietary sources. All investments carry some level of risk, including the potential loss of principal invested. Indexes and/or benchmarks are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Returns represent past performance and are not a guarantee of future performance and are not indicative of any special investment. Diversification and strategic asset allocation do not assure profit or protect against loss. Although stocks have historically outperformed bonds, they also have historically been more volatile. Investors should carefully consider their ability to invest during volatile periods in the market. Commodity prices fluctuate more than other asset prices with the potential for large losses and may be affected by numerous factors such as market, regulatory, weather, political, economic, and competition. Investments can be made directly in physical assets or commodity-linked derivative instruments. With fixed income securities such as bonds, interest rates and bond prices tend to move in opposite directions. When interest rates fall, bond prices typically rise, and conversely, when interest rates rise, bond prices typically fall. Bond and bond fund investors should carefully consider risks such as interest rate risk, credit risk, liquidity risk, and inflation risk before investing in a particular bond or bond fund.